Hey, 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 this is Country 102 on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Welcome, this is a Tuesday evening, a little country session. Yay. Over here with DJ Haas. How are you doing today?
I am doing so well, darling. How are you?
I am so excited for this segment. I don't think you understand my excitement.
Ooh, it's a different one, you guys. We have something a little different planned today. I don't even know what I was doing in a bookstore because I'm not a reader, but I found a book called Old Time Country Wisdom and Lore, 1,000 Ways of Traditional Skills for Simple Living. And it's by a dude named Jerry Mac Johnson. I'll tell you guys a little bit more about the author in a bit. So we're going to be going over to this book. I'm going to be telling you everything that I have learned from it. It's a lot of interesting stuff. But we do have a guest with us today who's going to also be learning some of this old time stuff. We have Caitlin here. Hi, Kate.
Woo. Hey.
Hi.
I am very excited to learn about this book.
Good, good. And I know that you like country music, right?
Yes, I do. Just really not the kind of twangy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, I really like country.
Yeah, and you're more of a new, I know you and DG Rodeo would probably get along because this girl's been to Shoreline plenty of times. And oh, I know you have.
I live there over the summers.
So there we go.
We might just run into each other this summer. I'm so excited.
It'll happen. It will happen. All right, you guys. So we're going to go ahead and jump right on in. So first, I just want to talk about this guy, Jerry Mac Johnson. So he grew up on a ranch in West Texas, and he actually worked as a cowboy. It's a long list. So he worked as a cowboy, a rodeo clown, a professional bull rider, a prospector, a miner, a merchant seaman, oil field worker. That's so much. Catfish farmer, salesman, and school teacher. And he actually authored more books. They call them books of lore. He authored several others, including Down Home Ways, Country Wisdom, and Country Scrapbook. So I trust him.
That list goes on.
Dude, yeah, look at it.
Yeah.
It's a long, so he has a lot of stuff.
So this is the author? Awesome.
This is the author.
Yeah.
Wow. And it makes sense. So he's had quite a life, as you can see. So
very credible then.
Oh yeah. Pretty. Mm-hmm. So here we go. So this, it's a cool book because there's three main parts. So I figured we could just talk about the first part, which is Nature's Trail. And then we have a second part and a third part. Second part's, Hearth and Homestead. And then third part is the Country Table, which was like all the cooking and like really cool recipes. I got to a little dabble into that. But we'll save those two for another time. So let's focus on Nature's Trail.
Dinner.
Oh, yeah. So that's why I figured. I was like, yeah, we'll do it on a day where we actually ate first and we don't have to worry about it. So I just want to jump right on into our first one. Here we go. It's called Weather Wisdom. Okay, I'm just going to start rattling them off. I was so excited this morning. I was highlighting, literally, you see this. Both of you witness. This is color-coded, and I highlighted this book. So
she really did take the time. Mm-hmm. I watched her.
Mm-hmm.
There are marks everywhere, listeners. She is into this.
Oh, yeah. You don't even know. So here we go. So Weather Wisdom. We're going to start off with animals and weather. So here we go. I'm just going to start reading them to you guys. So if dogs, and I know both of you have dogs, if dogs shun meat, eat grass in the morning and dig holes, rain can be expected. So watch out for that. And
okay,
when,
wait. Yep. If dogs eat meat.
Mm-hmm. No, if they shun meat, like if they don't want to eat meat,
huh,
and they eat grass in the morning and they dig holes, then rain can be expected. Also, it's having to do with dogs.
That's
if
wild.
Dogs sniff the air frequently, it indicates a change in weather. And I've seen dogs like do that. You know, when they just stop and they just like up at the air with their snouts.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
I don't know. I don't really have an outside dog.
Hmm.
So but she maybe doesn't eat grass.
But my dog eats grass sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see him do it a lot.
Mine does not.
But my dog is always hungry.
Like, really?
She'll finish her food.
Pinkerton.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. She'll eat her food so fast. And then like in the afternoon, she'll eat some grass.
See? So who knows?
Does it rain?
We'll see. Now, I didn't know this before. So now when I see dogs doing that, I'll like look up in the sky and be like, maybe. Another thing, when dogs bury more food and bones in the fall. Oh, wait, sorry. Dogs bury more food and bones in the fall before a bad winter. So that's how you know that a tough winter is coming.
So
if
smart.
They start, they're just, man, those dogs. Okay, now with cattle. So when cattle out at pasture recline early in the day, rain is indicated. And then when cattle and horses stay in close groups, that means a storm is coming. So I have to, like, now that I know all this, because I live, the exit I take to get to my house mm-hmm. is right next to St. Vincent's, like, farm area. Yeah. So there's always cattle. So I'm going to watch those guys now and be like, hmm.
So you're saying if they're more separated.
If they're separated, it's nice weather. Like, nice nothing weather. Nothing bad is coming.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then this is a cool one. Heavy fur on the bottom of the feet of rabbits foretell a cold winter. So, like, they adapt to it so that, you know, like, if you get a rabbit and they
are
have.
Are you ever close enough to a rabbit?
You
to
never see know. Like, a dead rabbit, I guess. Me. I don't know. If I hit one with my car, I'll go down and look at the feet and be like, ah, cold winter is coming.
The cold winter is coming. I'm never close enough to a rabbit.
I know. And it would have to be like a wild rabbit, like not a pet.
Oh, okay.
But still, that's so I thought that was pretty interesting. Here we go. This is some chicken talk. When chickens pick up pebbles and are unusually noisy, rain is coming. And when chickens stay out in the rain will last all day. So I guess if chickens are hanging out in the rain and it's raining, you know that it's going to go on for the whole entire day. What was another one? Oh, here we go. When it is hard to scare crows out of the cornfield, it will be a hard winter. So I guess if crows, so that's just how, isn't this weird stuff? Like you that's would never think stuff. That like someone is like, oh, honey, go scare the crows. Like they're not leaving. That
so
means it's going to be a hard winter.
These?
Yeah.
Like I was just going to say that. Like
all of these. Like he
must have been looking at rabbits mm-hmm. and cattle. Yeah.
That's how, because he probably doesn't have a phone out there to check,
right?
You know, for the forecast like I've been doing all week. So this is how he tells his weather.
Where
and
was
that's how he knows.
This was in Texas, right?
You know what? They don't actually. Yeah, West Texas.
West Texas.
He grew
okay.
up. He grew up on a ranch in West Texas. And then I'm sure as he had his long list of, you know, jobs that he's probably moved all over. But mm-hmm. good memory, yeah. DJ Rodeo. Okay, here we go. We're moving along to fish now. Fish and weather.
I love fish.
I picked two of these because actually it was a short one. But so fish swimming close to the surface and biting avidly mean rain. A lot of these have to do with rain because I guess
yeah.
rain is
yeah.
the thing that, you know, yeah, ruins everything. And then trout swimming in circles in the stream signifies a mild winter. So I guess that's good. If you see trout swimming in circles, you know it's going to be like a bearable.
I think that's actually a known thing because my brother fishes a mm-hmm. lot and he's told me some of these.
Yeah. See, I fish a lot, but I never knew that.
No, yeah, he's told me that. Like, one day, like, a lot of the fish were up near the surface. He's like, it's definitely going to rain. And
really?
You're not, it's not good to fish in the rain because they don't
Dude.
Bite.
Wow.
That is pretty cool. Okay, and before we move on from weather, I have some for just birds. Birds. I think the chickens should have been in that list, but oh well. So when a bird song, and I haven't heard a bird song or a bird, like a bird chirping for a really yeah. long time, but apparently when they're really? singing, if it ceases, listen for thunder. Like if they just stop out of the blue,
ooh.
Listen for thunder. And if crows, I have a thing with crows, like crows are my favorite animal, and I solely base it on the fact that they're all black, which is my favorite color, and that they're the only bird who actually like get out of my way when I'm driving. They really do. The rest, like, I have to break, and I'm like, really, dude? Like, you have wings. Just go. But crows are like, no, I see her coming. Like, we're about to dip. So that's why I like crows.
They know that you like them.
Probably. Or they just know, like, oh, we should probably get out of her way. So
a bunch of animal whispers over
I
here.
I know. So if crows are noisy and agitated, then rain is on the way. But if you see a solitary crow in flight, it signifies bad weather. And then a pair of flying crows means good weather. So when they're in a pack, they're good. So it's the opposite of the cattle and the horse.
Okay.
This I have the a horses. Lot.
Yeah.
See, oh, right. We haven't
he
even.
He must have a lot of free
Dude.
Time. Because I'm thinking Texas, West Texas, mm-hmm. that he has a lot
on
of
a
time
ranch.
On a ranch, a lot of free time. That's like his job. Like he's living on a
yeah.
ranch. The animals are his job.
Oh, completely.
So I totally. It's just mind blown. All this stuff.
I just
think
don't know
I
how
trust
you can learn
him.
All this. I trust this dude. What's
I
really cool, you guys will see this later on. The way he explains, like, a lot of his facts, like, rhyme. So it's little, like, he puts it in Aww. Little cool ways for you to kind of get it. Of course, like, where we live now, this isn't too, you know, applicable. But I could get, like, if you were out and you really did live this kind of simple
yeah.
lifestyle, like, how you would be fine with this. But it is, like, a whole different type of wisdom. Like, I don't know anyone who has this kind of wisdom.
Is that why you bought the book?
Yeah, I want to teach everybody. I was like, oh, it looks so cool. Okay, ready? Now we're gonna start getting into months and weather, like how you could tell certain things by like the actual month. So
okay.
they say, or he says, if a month starts with fair weather, it will end with foul. Can you remember, did March start with good or bad weather?
Bad.
So that means it's going to end good.
It rained all last week.
So that means it's going to end pretty well.
Really?
Mm-hmm. According to Mr. Jerry Mac Johnson, it will.
Let's hope that.
And then he said a favorable January means a good year. I think we had an okay January. I don't remember it being too
bad. It was pretty warm for a January, for our Januaries here.
So I think we'll be just fine with that. And then, okay, this one I want to read you guys because I couldn't figure it out, but it's like a riddle kind of thing. So he said, March comes in like a lion and goes out like a lamb. March comes in like a lamb and goes out like a lion. I don't even understand it. Huh. Something about the month.
I'm pretty sure you just said the same thing.
No, he said, comes in like a lion, goes out like a lamb, and then March comes in like a lamb, goes out like a lion. But he's talking about March in both of them. You don't get it either, right? Okay, so I just wanted to ask you guys.
Of the weather?
So he's that it could be either or?
If the beginning and the end of March.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lion is usually, I don't know.
Right.
People think they're scary, right? Yeah.
And that's why I'm not imagining. Like a little lamb is cute and
precious.
So you guys got it more than I did. So all right, whatever. Moving on to April. Rainy April, fair June. So that's good. If you have a rainy April, it means that June's going to be pretty tight.
And then, they always say June bloom.
Yeah, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then he said, don't trust the sky. Here's one of the rhymes. Don't trust the sky in the month of July. So I guess, you can't tell weather. Like, it could look like a great day. And then all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, this is bad. Everybody get inside. And then he said, heavy rainfall in September brings drought. And then much rain in October, much wind in December. So this is cool. I feel like this year I'm going to be waiting for it. Like if it starts raining a lot in October, I'll be like, you guys, that means it's gonna be pretty windy December.
Well, now I'm gonna be watching out.
Right? Let's see.
I need to we're over a in the copy March of that page.
Oh yeah. I'll print it all out. So here we go. We're moving right along. Now we're not gonna be in weather anymore, girls. We're going to moon lore. Ooh, moon lore. And this one's about marriage and babies in connection to the moon. So they say marriage should be performed on a growing moon and the full moon is best. So if you're going to be married, aim for a full moon.
Good to know.
Everyone listen to that.
You hear it?
Listen here.
I'm going to be responsible for creating great.
Yeah, Jerry Mac.
Yep, there we
Jerry
go.
Jerry Mac Johnson's words.
I just took his credibility. I meant Jerry Mac Johnson's responsible for some great marriages, some successful marriages. And then he said, children and animals that are born in the full moon are larger and stronger than those born in the wane of the moon. I don't know if you guys know what the wane, I took astronomy way, way too long ago, but waning is when I think it's like the moon is shaded on the right side, if you can imagine that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So was he hanging around a hospital or something? Well,
maybe it's his own kids that see. Yeah, I don't get it.
Huh.
He's an interesting. I think he's like a Benjamin Button kind of guy where he's just lived for.
I wonder how old he is right now. I'm going to Google that.
You do that. Okay. Ready? Here we go. When a baby boy is born in the wane of the moon, the next child will be a girl and vice versa. So when they're born in the wane, it will be a different sex.
Okay.
Of the kid. When he says that if the birth takes place on a growing or waxing moon, so waning is when the moon is shaded on the right, waxing is the opposite. It's when the moon is shaded on the left. He said that it'll be the same sex. So you get that, you guys? Waxing, you'll have same sex. Waning moon, it will be the opposite of the first child.
So that's only when the child is born.
Yeah.
Okay.
When the birth of the child. So not conceived, but actually born.
Okay. And that will say for your next one.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that weird? Okay. This is the one that I don't know how you guys are with zodiac signs. Mine is pretty true. I'm an Aries. And then in this book, he described it as, let's see, what's an Aries? Movable, fiery, barren, dry, masculine. And that's... kind of obtained to me. So what's DJ Rodeo, what's yours? You're a Pisces. Flexible, fruitful, watery, and feminine.
Whoa.
Wow.
Caitlin, what are
I'm
you, my dear?
I'm scared of mine. Mine's a Gemini, and it's
you're
usually...
You're a Gemini. Okay. Flexible, fiery... Wait. You have the same ones as me. I'm movable. You're flexible, but you're also fiery, barren, dry, and masculine. Are you masculine? I'd say you're pretty feminine.
Yeah.
I could get masculine from you.
I don't know. I think I'm in the middle. I'm not overly...
When you eat Mexican food, you're pretty masculine.
Oh, thank you.
You're very welcome.
So sweet of you.
No, okay. So this is also, I did not know this. So, I mean, farmers, according to Johnson, he said that he uses the zodiac signs through which the moon passes, and he uses them as a guide to planting, harvesting, breeding livestock, butchering, like pretty much all chores that you would have on a farm or a ranch or whatever. But what I didn't know is that the 12 signs are also identified with like parts of the human body. And early astronomers believed that there was a definite direct relationship between the heavenly bodies and the earthly bodies. So for example, okay, so for DJ Rodeo, you said you were Pisces.
Yeah.
So your governed body zones are your feet. And then mine are my head and my face. And then Caitlin, yours are your hands, arms, lungs, chest, whoa, shoulders, nervous system. Like that's oh what's protected by your zodiac or from your zodiac sign. Isn't that weird?
So I'm wow. I'm really protected.
You're very protected.
Wow.
You're set.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Me and DJ Rodeo have to be careful. She has his feet. I have my head in my face, which I think has already been injured. So I don't know about that. But isn't that like I never knew in my life, like I've never known or never heard that they're connected with like one of our body parts. So that was pretty interesting. All right, you guys. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be talking about some of nature's creatures. You're going to be listening to radio.dominican.edu. So please stay tuned for Country 102 with me, DJ Haas, and DJ Rodeo. We'll see you guys in a little bit.
All right, all right.
Yeah.
I ain't rich, but I damn sure wanna be. Working like a dog all day ain't working for me. I wish I had a rich uncle that'd kick the bucket and I was sitting on a pile like Warren Buffett. I know everybody says money can't buy happiness, but it can buy me a boat. It can buy me a truck to pull it. It can buy me a Yeti 110 eyes down with some silver bullets. Yeah, and I know what they say, money can't buy everything. Well, maybe so, but it can buy me a boat. They call me redneck, white trash, and blue collar. I could change all that if I had a couple $1,000,000. I keep hearing that money is the root of all evil, and you can't fit a camel through the eye of a needle. I'm sure that's probably true, but it still sounds pretty cool. Cause it could buy me a boat, it could buy me a truck to pull it, it can buy me a Yeti 110 eyes down with some silver bullets. Yeah, and I know what they say, money can't buy everything. Well, maybe so, but it can buy me a boat to float down on the water with a beer. I hear the Powerball lotto is sitting on $100 million. Well, that'll buy me a brand new rod and reel. And it can buy me a boat, it could buy me a truck to pull it, it could buy me a Yeti 110 ass down with some silver bullets. Yeah, and I know what they say, money can't buy everything. Well, maybe so, but it can buy me a boat. Yeah, and I know what they say, money can't buy everything. Well, maybe so, but it can buy me a boat. You can buy me a boat.
All right, We are back here on radio.dominican.edu, Country 102 with DJ Haas and DJ Rodeo.
Woo! And we have our guests still with us. Hi, Caitlin.
Hello.
Hello. So just to remind you guys, we are just sharing some facts with you from Jerry Mack Johnson's book called Old Time Country Wisdom and Lore. So we're going to jump right back in. You guys are still listening to Penguin Radio here on radio.dominican.edu. Okay, ready, girls? So we're moving on to, he called this chapter Creatures of the Countryside. Right. And the first one is an armadillo. Oh my God, I'm so stoked right now. I have so much stuff to share.
Oh, it was Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh my gosh,
you're right. They're like the armadillos, and he was dressed in a huge armadillo, right?
All right, you're totally right.
That was so funny. Okay,
I got you.
A little sidetrack.
Okay. I got you. All right, so I'm sure you guys can envision what an armadillo looks like, but I'm going to paint a very vivid picture. So it has stubby legs covered with hardened scales. Its body is encased in an armor of bony plates, and then it has like a flat plate that covers the head from nose tip to crown. So it really looks, I feel like a knight in shining armor almost.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's super guarded. And they say the tail is safeguarded by a series of hard rings. So you could go bowling with this thing. You really could.
Right.
I feel like armadillos are just, they're set for war.
It could be a weapon.
Mm-hmm. So they say it's a relative of sloths and anteaters. So it too is equipped with a long, sticky tongue for capturing its favorite food and insects and whatnot. So they eat ants, including fire ants. That could be good because I hate fire ants.
Me too.
Yeah, Kate has a very, right? You want to tell your story really quick?
Yeah, it was.
I know this one.
One Easter, I was about 6 years old in Texas. I was visiting my family, and an egg was placed right beside a fire ant hole.
Oh, no.
Of a huge home of fire ants. And my foot, I stepped in it and it got stuck and I had fire ant bites all over my body.
So that's when an armadillo would have come in handy.
And saved my life.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so Everyone needs to get so a pet armadillo.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in Texas. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They probably, oh yeah. So besides the fire ants, they'll eat their eggs, which is good. So eat those dang fire ants before they hatch. Roaches, cane borers, which I have no idea what they are. Termites, scarab beetles, and their larvae. You have wireworms, centipedes, grasshoppers, and other destructive insects that make up like 90% of their diet. So they go after pretty invasive insects, which is good. So
I
thank you, armadillos.
Yeah. Are they acceptable to have as pets?
I don't even know. We'll look into that. We'll see. So after they locate the insect underneath the soil, what they do is through their sense of smell, they'll just dig a hole super, super quick with their front feet. And it says it grunts softly as it labors. So it like starts digging and I guess it's just like or whatever. I don't know.
That's that grunting?
Works. Yeah. Lightly grunting. Mm. Yeah. Because if a normal grunt is like, huh. Lightly must be like, huh.
Oh my God.
I don't know.
That sounded really
We'll look it
creepy.
Up. We'll look it up. So, and then at times it actually sits up on its hind legs and it props itself up with its tail to inspect plants for berries and insects Aww. And all that. Right? Sounds kind of cute. And then also it assumes that same position when they sniff the air for danger.
Aww.
So they seem cute. And honestly, the picture here, they look like pretty cool thing. So who knows?
I kind of looked up where they're from because I was curious if they were popular in California at all. And it's mostly
like Texas,
mm-hmm. South Carolina, and Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Texas, of course.
Yeah.
I feel like they definitely. Have everything. So there we go, Kate.
I need
if you ever go back
Texas.
To Texas, you get that armadillo of yours.
I think I will.
You can name him after
we'll
us.
We'll eat all the bugs.
Yeah. Name Rodeo Haas.
Rodeo Haas.
Haas Rodeo. Whatever works.
That's cute. That's
so,
cute.
So up next, we have a badger. And I don't think I've ever seen, badger. I feel like it looks like a half beaver, half, really?
Yeah. Oh, I've seen videos on YouTube.
Are they crazy?
Oh, yeah. Snoop Dogg did a whole Discovery Channel thing on a honey badger.
Oh my gosh.
You need to look it up. It's really funny.
Well then, so I'm going to read these facts then. You tell me from your...
They're sneaky.
Really? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, actually, okay. There we go then. That makes sense. So here's some facts. You tell me if they're pretty close to what a badger's like. So it gives itself frequent manicures and pedicures, and it doesn't leave a trace of dirt beneath the nails or between the toes. So they're pretty particular with that. And then they said that the badger's long claws are used not only for defense but as a means of securing food. So like because they can dig faster than its prey, I guess they overtake them and they just eat them quicker. So wow, they can really go. If they see something they like in the ground, they're like, I'm going to eat you.
I mean, I'm no expert, but I did watch the Discovery Channel, and it did seem it that does, way.
Okay. So you've seen their long claws and
they
whatnot.
They did show that.
Okay. See? So that's interesting. Now, here we go. A little sex for you guys. During the mating season in autumn or early winter, the male badger, in skunk-like fashion, raises his short tail and discharges an odoriferous secretion when courting the object of his affection. That's how they get it on.
Wow.
That's weird.
That's really aggressive.
Yeah.
He releases a gas?
Yeah. He discharges his, like, skunk-like gas over the lady he's trying to pursue.
And the ladies like that?
I guess they're like, ooh, yeah, lay it on me.
Yeah.
You smell so good.
They go after the smelliest one.
I guess so. That's how it is, I feel like, for the animals. Weird, but whatever works.
Wow. That's wild.
Low maintenance, right? Those ladies are low maintenance. So they say during the badger's energetic excavating of food, skulls and bones would often fly about like the loosened dirt. So that's why they've gotten the name of being like grave diggers or grave robbers, is because I guess when they dig like that, they just throw everything behind them. So that, yeah. So some country folk consider it to be the grave robber because they just go and dig and they'll always pick up the bones and whatnot. So don't bury anything where badgers might be around. Unless you want to see it.
Yeah, like a cemetery.
Yeah, yeah, that would be horrible. Could you imagine that? Like, let's go visit grandma. Like, why is grandma alive?
There's like dirt everywhere.
Grandma's missing.
Grandma. Oh, gosh.
Oh, man.
Moving right along, we have the fox. So I have a lot of foxes that come down. I live down the street from a canyon. That's where my parents' house is. And so many foxes just come and like wreak havoc. So I was very interested in this.
Have you seen one before?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, when I'm like driving home late at night.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
I run into them.
We have coyotes.
Yeah.
They're okay. I was going to say that's what coyotes I see and foxes.
Yeah.
More of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We got it. So here we go. So there's a lot of different types of foxes. I did not know this. There's the red fox, the gray fox, the Arctic fox, and the kit fox. And there's cross foxes, like black foxes, silver, that are like a color phase of the red fox. I didn't even know this. I just thought there was just
a fox.
Yeah. Hmm. So apparently we don't really know too much about the foxes, but we're learning. So if someone labels you foxy, this is what Johnson writes. If someone labels you foxy, accept it as a compliment. The fox is a clever creature who has learned to outwit man on numerous occasions. So I guess when they're being pursued by hunters and hounds, they've devised a way to break the scent, like the line of scent on the soil or by their paws, even like they jump onto the backs of sheep to get rid of the scents and to throw them off. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
So if the fox is like, oh, they're coming after me like sheep, I'm going to jump on you. That's like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible. That's a really smart fox.
That's a really smart fox.
So they all do this? Yeah. Like there's no dumb fox unless like they were dropped on their head when they were little, but apparently like all foxes are just super sneaky like that. So.
And it makes sense to say if someone calls you foxy to take it as a compliment because that's how
you're witty,
we use
you're
it
clever,
too.
Sassy.
Ooh,
yeah,
foxy. Like, you're foxy.
Ooh, she
girl.
Foxy. Wasn't that I don't think I've ever gotten nope, not yet. Have you guys been called foxy ever?
No. I don't know what I would say to that. Yeah. I don't know what I would respond.
Swiper, no swiping. Wasn't that the fox from Dora the Explorer?
Yeah.
That was him.
Dominican Radio's Foxy.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Radio.dominican.edu.
I was going to meow, and I was like, not a fox, though. Not a fox. Okay. Ready, you guys, for some porcupine talk?
Yes.
Porcupines.
I've never seen one.
So apparently, they're a little unique. So if some morning you wake up and you find your axe, your hoe, or your shovel missing its handle, there's no need for assistance from the sheriff to solve the mystery. The culprit is probably the porcupine. So I guess its strong desire for salt actually drives its like
salt.
Yeah, it consumes anything bearing a trace of it. So even the slight trace left by human like precipitation.
I was gonna say, because the handles
exactly
you sweat.
Yeah, that's why they go after
there you
it.
Go.
So with its powerful incisor teeth, I guess that's what it has. The porcupine will devour sweat-stained saddles, harnesses, barrels, in which salted meat has once been stored, even if there's just a little tiny hint of salt. So they go after it. So they really do like salt.
Aren't they small?
Porcupines are pretty. Yeah, I think they're like.
So they must be really strong.
Mm-hmm. Wow. They must have sharp teeth.
Yeah, scissor. What did you say? Scissor?
Yeah, and scissor like, or like they're sharp and scissor teeth.
I don't want to get close to a porcupine. Uh-uh. Then.
Nope.
Yeah, no.
Don't
mm-mm,
either.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. All right, and here we go. Our last main animal is the possum.
Wait, so I wonder.
Oh, what?
Did he.
Like he encountered all
encounter
of these.
All these animals?
He's witnessed. He what was it? To. He's witnessed, what was it? The badger mating? He's seen how a badger gets its ladies. Gas.
That yeah. must be the day mm-hmm. that, yeah. that.
That's the day he decided to write the book.
Absolutely.
I got to share this
with you. That was the reason he wrote the book.
So he.
To tell these country people what it's like.
Exactly. So Jerry Mac Johnson describes the possum as unintelligent and unique. Mm. That's okay. what my mother calls me.
Oh my God.
Oh God, I hope she doesn't. So then I wonder if this is stupid. When I read this, I was like, oh my God, is this the dude from Pocahontas? So they said Captain John Smith of the Jamestown Colony in Virginia was responsible for the name by which it is known, which is opossum. So it's not, I guess it's referred to as possum in this country, but a lot of people in a lot of states still call it opossum, like with an O in front of it, opossum.
Sounds Irish.
Opossum. Yeah. Opossum, top of the morning.
Yeah.
We got it. But I don't know if that's actually right. That was the dude from Pocahontas, right? John Smith? Captain John Smith? Or did I just add the captain? He wasn't on a pirate ship. I don't know why I said captain.
Don't quote me on that, but it sounds like
it. Sounds right, right? Okay.
I think we should look this up.
Yeah, let me look it
up. DJ Brody's going to do it. So I'm going to, apparently possums are a little bit blind because their iris is only, right? Their iris is only visible in very bright light. And which is why the possum avoids the eye, like, so the eye is the pupil. My bad. Okay, we're getting this mixed up. I'm going to start over again. So the iris is visible only in very bright light, and that's why the possum avoids the bright light. And then the whole eye is the pupil, I guess. So it's suited to his nocturnal habits.
Wow.
Rodeo, did we get the John right. Smith okay?
Yep.
Okay.
In Pocahontas.
Yay. I knew it. Okay.
Nailed it.
Gonna have to look it up and make sure it's the guy from Jamestown Colony, Virginia. so yeah, back to the eyesight. They don't have good eyesight, and that's why they're actually also thought to be lacking color vision. So they might be colorblind. So possums really don't have it easy.
It's hard. How can you tell if an animal
exactly like you just colorblind. You set like a colored box in front of them, I guess, and see if they run into it or not. I don't know how you would test
Ooh.
That. Don't they say that dogs are colorblind also? Somewhat?
Something about that.
Like they have slight...
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's what I've heard.
So who knows?
Possums kind of scare me.
Yeah.
I think they're kind of gross. Like,
No. They look like, I'm looking at them right now. It's like the face of a rat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, but here's a cool thing. So for pregnancy for the possum, it's 12 days and 18 hours. That's it. That's how long they're pregnant for. The babies are extremely premature at birth though. So urgently, they have to go into the mother's pouch. So it's kind of like an incubator when they're continuing to develop. Oh, what
okay,
did we find,
so
Rodeo?
Dogs are not colorblind in the sense that they see more than just black, white, and gray. However, the color range they perceive is limited compared to the spectrum that we see. So to put in very basic terms, the canine color field consists mostly of yellows, blues, and violets.
Oh,
okay.
Very, very interesting.
Wow.
Oh, all right.
Yellows, I had no blues, idea. And violets.
Well, to wrap this this section of creatures of the countryside up, he has a chart for like the lifespan of these animals. So for bat, they live 3 to 5 years. For a snail, they actually live 8. Foxes wow. can live up to 10. Wolves can live 10 to 15 years. So it's okay. a little terrifying. And then, of course, we have like dogs who live up to 15. Cats can actually live up to 20 years. I did not know that.
Cats can live a long
yeah.
time.
I did not know
yeah.
that. Deer can live up to 25 years.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Bear can be 30 years. A horse can be 35 years. Can you imagine having a horse that long? A large snake or a toad can live up to 25 years. And this one's crazy. A crocodile can be either 30 to 50 years plus.
That's scary.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I just said that's
just terrifying.
Scary,
yeah, a crocodile
they
could be around.
They freak me
yeah.
out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense to have all these animals in the country.
Yeah.
Because their life expectancy is really
so
long.
High.
And, yeah, that mm-hmm. makes sense that Jerry Mac Johnson
yeah.
mm-hmm. would have
great
all
name,
these animals.
Great name, by the way.
Love it.
That's an awesome name. Yeah, so he just, I guess he's hung around a crocodile for that long. Oh, gosh. Well, so that wraps up our... our section on just the creatures of the countryside.
And where can you find this book again? You said...
You can find it... Oh, so sorry, I didn't mention it before. You can find it on Copperfields on 4th Street, actually, right here in San Rafael. And it's not over yet. Part one is not done. When we come back, we're going to take a little break.
Yes.
We're going to talk about some bugs and such, and then a little bit of hunting wisdom. So,
and don't get scared about all these animals, people. No. If you guys want a pet armadillo, pet possum,
we're going to all go out and get one.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're about to go triple on a... An armadillo.
We're going to have a farm in our backyard or something.
All right, you guys. So here is Lonely Bones by Mark McKinney. So stay tuned on Penguin Radio for Country 102 when we get back.
Trail behind. Sometimes you forget you can even hurt to the love you thought you had, traded in for dirt. I went up to Fort Worth to get away from a small town girl with a pretty face. But you can't hide from the heartbreak hounds. Once they catch a scent, they'll hunt you down. I'm gonna sit right here and drink whiskey till I'm gone. Try to figure out what the hell went wrong. I'm gonna sit right here and make the jukebox play sad songs. Cause I think I need one more night of being alone. Cause someone rattle these lonely bones. This Mexican shooting Patron, trying to burn a hole straight through my mind, trying to put these feelings where the sun don't shine. I started to fade on 35, so I stopped in South Austin just to stay alive. I found my way over to the broken spoke. I said, honey, keep them coming till I'm broke. I'm gonna sit right here and drink whiskey till I'm gone. Try to figure out what the hell went wrong. I'm gonna sit right here and make the jukebox play sad songs. Cause I think I need one more night of being alone. Could someone rattle these lonely bones? All right. Tell me why is it so hard? Is it so hard to let go? Just tell me. Try to figure out what the hell went wrong. Gonna sit right here and make the jukebox play sad songs. Cause I think I need one more night of being alone. Cause someone rattled these lonely bones.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Country 102 with DJ Haas and
DJ Rodeo.
Yay! And we're just finishing up a few facts from Jerry Mac Johnson's book called Old Time Country Wisdom and Lore. So we are moving right along to, I'm going to jump right into talking about termites.
Oh.
So pretty gross. I'm not sure how you guys are with bugs, but I freak out. Like, I need to kill it.
I'm the one in the family who will kill the spider. My sisters cannot do it, so I'm the one who kills the spiders.
But, like, so you say, though, if you see it, though, like, you have to kill it. I can't. My brother's the type that will see a spider and be like, ah, leave it. I'm like, no, we need to murder it now.
I'm like you. Yeah. Jay Haas. Like, I cannot deal with that.
You have to see it dead. I have to. And, okay, this is probably I should see a therapist for it. But I kill it. I put it. It can't go in the regular trash. It has to go down the toilet so it's away. Mm. And then sometimes I spit, like, in the toilet. Like, good riddance. Like, puh.
I just squeeze.
That's how much I hate you.
I, like, squeeze the tissue and I just make sure that thing is dead. Mm-hmm. And it ain't coming back to life.
We're good.
I'm like you, DJ Haas. It needs to go down the toilet.
Yeah. So, DJ Rhody, you could just throw it, like, away in the kitchen trash and be like, yeah, we're good.
Yeah.
Well, good for you. I'm not there yet.
For me, it's toilet. Like, I picture it coming back alive in the trash can. Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, it's not there yet. Oh,
we can't.
Back out.
It's going to find its way out. So, back to termites. So, little known vitamin T is an important factor in good health. So, it maintains stamina and it actually increases resistance to stress and shock. So, it's a pretty important vitamin, which I never learned in any of my health classes, but a source of vitamin T for human consumption is in sesame seeds and its oil. But I guess for emergency rations for soldiers back in, like, the old times, they consisted of cakes made from sesame seed and honey, and they actually found that a man could go much farther on that given amount of old age has been attributed to the effect of sesame seed with its vitamin T content. So it's a pretty good, it's a pretty valuable vitamin to have. So for us, normally we could do sesame seeds if we really wanted it that bad. But apparently there's a lot of tribes of people that dine on termites because they also have very, very high amounts of vitamin T, but they prefer them in a pickled state. Mm. So pickled termites.
How yummy. Mm-hmm. These animals and their desired.
Yeah. Right.
Like, what is
it's
it?
It's just weird. It's weird. And then they say that these insects contain more protein than fish. So that's a lot of protein packed into a little termite.
Right.
I don't know.
And back to the honey. Mm. I've heard if you have a spoonful, someone once told me, if you have a spoonful of honey or a packet of honey every day, that you'll be super healthy and live.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
What if I put it in my tea?
Honey's really, that too.
Like the good organic honey.
Yeah.
Especially with allergies. Yeah. You're supposed to get local organic honey.
So honeys. There we go. So people, I know termites. I mean, if you really want to get protein like that, then termites is your way to do it. If not, just maybe make some sesame seed cakes with honey. Games. Like they used to do it in the old days.
I said some gains for you working out.
Oh, could you imagine that? People, I heard somewhere that that's going to be like the protein source in the future because people are getting so into the bulking up thing now. It's going to be insects. Like people really? Downing wow. crickets. I read that in an article. Stop. Not for me.
Oh my gosh.
That will not be
me. Nope.
I'll pass.
So here we go. We're moving right into hunting wisdom. So you could break your hunting boots in with rubbing alcohol instead of water. It penetrates the leather faster and it dries even quicker so that it will actually make them fit a lot better onto your feet quicker. Okay. So that's pretty important. Yeah. If you have some leather hunting boots. And then if you plan to wear heavy woolen socks, your hunting boots should be two sizes larger. I have such an issue with this because I never know how big to get them. So they say two sizes larger than your normal shoe size, but for light socks, boots should only be one size longer and wider.
So what if you have thick socks and non-thick socks?
Then I guess you have to have two different
types of shoes.
I do. They're hiking. Okay. But I brought them in camo that way, it kind of, because I'm cheap like that. Then I'm like, there we go. So if I ever want to go, you know, hunting, then I can take those with me. But mine are just a canvassy material.
Okay.
And so far, usually when I've gone, they are a little bit roomy. Okay. So if I do have socks, then I'm fine. And then without the socks, I just have to tie them really, really tightly. But so far, I haven't had to hunt yet on like really, really cold circumstances. So I'm sure when I have that, then I'll probably be like, I should have gotten a much bigger size. But so they're good. I got lucky with mine. Mine are just some easy Under Armour camo ones. This is some intense one.
Yeah. I have a pair and they're huge.
Really?
So I have to wear
with the socks.
Thick socks.
So then for like cold, you're good. But I bet hot, like
when it's hot,
you're done.
Well, I've only really have done hunting, gone hunting in the winter time. Yeah. I don't want to go when it's super hot.
I can't imagine that.
Is it best in the winter hunting?
I honestly, I prefer the like summer kind of, just because we wake up so early that you do get like a good amount of hours when the weather is cold.
Right, right.
And then of course when it heats up, it's just like, oh,
you're exhausted.
Done.
You're hot.
But it's just, for me, it's better than just being so cold that I can't even pull like the trigger. Like, you know what I mean? Right. Even though usually I have gloves.
I just always dress really warm.
Yeah.
So I end up actually getting really hot and wanting to take
it. And having to take it. Yeah. So I would just rather do it in hot weather, because it's like I was going to be taking off all my layers anyway. But yeah, for me, I go more like around this time is my favorite time to do it.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
It's a good season. So, old timers also say that excellent bootlaces can be made from the inner tube of an automobile tire. This I thought was cool. Cut narrow strips of the same thickness and length as leather laces from a tube that has not become dry and brittle. Thread them through the eyelets of your boots. You'll find them non-slip and comfortable, and they're also flexible, so they'll give your feet a good amount of movement. I never thought of that. That's really smart.
That's crazy.
Right?
So, you're taking off the
inner
tire.
Tube. Mm-hmm.
Wow, the inner tube.
From the automobile tire.
Never thought of that.
I don't know about an automobile one. I wonder if it works just the same with a bicycle inner tube.
Well, I don't know. Because I feel like the thickness is different.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's why it would matter.
They hold up. Huh. See? That's some true. Interesting stuff, people. I'll tell you. So, and this is just kind of a pretty good one. But there is a secret to hanging birds in game. So when you hunt, you hang birds by the head.
Right.
And then you hang game by the legs. Mm-hmm. There we go. That's how you do it. So moving right along, this is going to be our last section for today. We're going to be talking about firewood. And this actually I had not known. I feel like I've been making fires wrong my whole entire life. And I can see why no one ever trusts me with a fire. I don't know how you guys are with it. But
so you shouldn't make a fire when we go camping?
Because
together?
I haven't. I've been doing it all wrong. Because apparently, so when gathering wood for a fire, pass up any that is on the ground. That's like my main spot that I go to.
Right.
That's right.
Weird. They say it might be wet.
Mm-hmm. It is usually beginning to rot and may be damp or even waterlogged. Choose deadwood that is standing or hanging in bushes or low trees. So that's cool. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So for kindling, they say select the bark of white birches. It ignites quickly and is easily removed from trees. And then dead twigs from the tops of small evergreens also make good kindling. If you just want to start like a slowish kind of little fire, those are the white birch and then the twigs. And then they say oak makes good firewood, particularly white oak. Also in this section, later on in this book, he has a section called Tree Talk, where he literally, every species of trees, he just talks about it. So I can go in there because I don't know what white oak looks like.
Yeah, I don't either.
Or birch or whatever.
Birch. Mm-mm. Interesting.
So I'd have to get my white oak down. And then they said white birch and northern alder burn well also when it's somewhat green. So it is like it's... like tips to it. I feel like some that are green, you know, it's good to burn, but there's some certain types of trees that if they have green on them, then they're not going to do much. So to start a campfire quickly when the woods are damp, you cut an inch off a candle and then you place it next to a good sized stone. You lean twigs against the stone above the wick and then you light the candle. In no time, that will dry the wood enough for it to ignite. So if you have damp wood and it won't light fire, that's how you dry
the
wood.
Candle.
Yeah.
But what
so on the stone.
I was gonna say you're supposed
to
bring one with you.
Yeah, I guess in case you know if you're gonna be hunting when it's kind of damp weather, make sure you have a candle, people.
Maybe he had one,
right?
Just in case he was in the dark or something and needed light,
and then
used it.
Wow. What were you thinking, Johnson? Yeah. What were you? What were you thinking? So that's his book. So yeah, you guys, I got this not too long ago. I think maybe a few months from Copperfields right here close to Dominican University in downtown Santa Fe. And it was on clearance, though. I do remember that because they had a bunch and they were all marked down. And I was like, yeah, I'm cheap and this looks fun and I'll grab it. So it's by Jerry Mack Johnson. We talked about him. He grew up in West Texas. He has three more books that they mentioned: Down Home Ways, Country Wisdom, and Country Scrapbook. So I think I might have to check those out a little bit. It makes it, you know, very interesting. And in case you guys are curious, I'll read you some of the things that he lists of what he explains to you. So there's butter and cheese making. There's homemade soaps, shampoos and scents. There's paper making, candle crafting, sausage making, beer brewing, plant dyes, natural teas and tonics, jam making, Brick Lane. Like there's literally so everything. Much. Country remedies and herbal cures. So you could literally, like, if you were trying to be a person who old went off country. The map and yeah. like this book would be your thing.
I want to borrow this book.
It's cool, right? Because honestly, for me, everything I do is in my phone, like my GPS, yeah. my weather. I don't know how to read a map, like a legit map. And I don't know either. How to tell weather by looking at clouds and animals like animals. He talked about.
Well, now I feel a little bit more prepared, right? To be honest.
Like, we're starting our...
He had a you know? Lot of good stuff mm-hmm. to say.
And that was just part one.
I was thinking, because I'm doing the modern country of our country yeah. 102, and I could not imagine any of these now artists
no.
dealing with old time country,
you know, they
building
weren't.
A fire, making their own soaps, mm-mm. like not to bash, but because they're living such high fancy lives, living in their oh, motor yeah. homes that they live in when they go.
Oh yeah.
Oh completely my gosh. Different. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I was just thinking, like,
I couldn't see them looking up at the sky and horses being like, I know it's rain coming. Like,
exactly. Having a pet armadillo.
Oh dude. You know? We're going after that yeah. armadillo. We're gonna start oh. seeing where you can get them.
Oh yeah.
Cute little things.
But I could be wrong. There could be some out there, but I feel like right? the
I feel
percentage-
like it gets passed on. Like this guy must have known. I mean, because he said he grew up on the ranch. So I'm sure right. his, you know, parents taught him these kinds of things, and then just from the life he had and the jobs he had to just learn so much of it as yeah. he went along. So you seem like a very wise man, Jerry Mac Johnson, and you just have three new fans who trust you completely, because this makes a lot of sense
yeah,
to me.
I learned a lot today, and I'm sure our listeners here on Penguin Radio probably learned a lot too. Mm-hmm. I feel like I was in a did. Country class, country right? course. Dominican should yeah. definitely have a country course.
Yeah.
That'd be we would be the only ones in it.
Yeah, it might just be us. It would be fine. I could bring in the book, suck up to the teacher. Like, look what we found. Here we go.
But really, that would be so useful.
You know, I'm sure they have yeah. it too. And other, like, you know, other campuses that are much bigger have like the whole agriculture, like
right.
fishery. And I'm sure they have something on like country stuff. I feel like bigger
or if
universities
you were to study
have
abroad,
so much random.
Maybe yeah. they would have special courses like these.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Specifying in it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Huh. Well, I need to sign up.
See, yeah. there's so many aspects in country. Like, country's so much bigger than just music and artists.
Completely.
And
yeah, you guys heard like a whole variety of what is considered the old, like, you know, country living. Because when I hear country, I hear simple. Like, I know people say like country, and then they associate it a lot with like redneck or white
right.
trash.
And
but
the
like
the typical stereotypes.
Exactly.
And that's what really makes me angry, because they don't look past that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't realize the old time country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then even now country, like I feel like I hear it and I just think like simple, like it's just simple living where like they don't need much. So that's what I, when I hear country, right. I'm like, oh, you're a simpleton. Like, you don't, you know, you just
you're
like
simpleton.
Camping and like
right.
you look at yeah. trees every now and then, you're fine. Like, ride a horse.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're good. All right, you guys. So that was Old Time Country Wisdom and Lore with Jerry Mac Johnson. We are all wrapped up for today, but next week, Tuesday 5 to 6, we will be sharing some of our favorite songs with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, we're going to bring back, we did a little show a couple mm-hmm. weeks ago with our favorite songs, so we're uh-huh. going to do that, can't we? I don't know who, do you have an idea of who you're going to
oh, yeah.
the artist?
Oh,
oh
yeah.
you already know.
Oh, I'm there. Man, I'm there. I'm excited to listen
lot.
To yours. I learned yeah. a lot of, hopefully this time I actually know the artists that
mine
you
last time were...
You
Chris
did the
Wendell.
Really depressing. There we go.
That was the depressing. Yeah. Chris Wendell and then Old Dominion.
Mm-hmm.
Old Dominion. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know I did Merle. Yeah. I think I did Merle and Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Sounds about right. So we got it. So that's what's going to be coming up next Tuesday.
So tune in. You don't want to miss it.
Oh, yeah. So here we are. We are DJ Rodeo and DJ Haas. Thank you again to our very special guest.
Yes.
Thank Caitlin.
You so much.
Thank you for chatting with us.
Loved having you on yeah. the show with us today, keeping us company.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The station.
Thanks. Because we get sick of each other. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, hey, easy, DJ Haas. I'm going to get my armadillo on you.
Oh, gosh. Please no. Please no. All right, you guys. So stay tuned next Tuesday, 5 to 6, here on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your week, y'all.
Bye.